Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to the Score programme on this Thursday night here in Highland as we look forward to a bumper weekend of action. We've got Gaelic games on the programme where the Donegal take on Tyrone in a big match on the hurling front, and you can add into that as well. We've also got Derry against Monaghan. We'll be looking forward to that later on in the programme, the Ulster Championship, where the winner, of course, will take on Donegal in the final of the Ulster Championship. Declan Boyle will be joining us to look ahead to big games at both ends of the table for Derry City and Finn Harps on Friday night. Plus, I'm joined in studio by Brian Brogan, Chairman Donegal Motor Club, and Eamon McGee, clerk, of course, of the 2022 Donegal International Rally. We'll be speaking to those guys in just a few moments' time. But we're going to kick things off and give pride of place this evening to the Scullwara Girls Under 17 team, who took victory earlier today in the FAI Schools All-Ireland Junior Final, coming through against Presentation Secondary School on penalties. The game was 0-0 after normal time. They couldn't be separated after 120 minutes after extra time, so spot kicks was required for this tie. And in the end, it was the Inishowen College that won it 5-4. They held their nerve in sudden death to take it 5-4 and take the title as well. The bus, which I'm sure has a fantastic atmosphere in, is on its way home at the moment. And we've got manager and teacher Owen Leonard on the line to tell us all about the day. First of all, Owen, thanks for joining us, and huge congratulations this evening.
Thanks very much, Oisin. I'm really delighted for this group. It's been an honour and a privilege to be involved with such an exceptional and a talented group of young people.
Yeah. How could you describe their performance today?
Oh, they were fantastic. They've shown that character and that work rate that they've shown throughout the competition again today. And it really was a massive performance on final day and a well-deserved win in the end.
Yeah. How did the day plan out? If we look at it in normal and extra time, neither side managed to get a score on the board, to get a goal on the board. Was the 0-0 a reflection of how the game was going over the 120 minutes?
It was. It was a nervous start, and once we settled into the game, we were playing better football as the first half ended, and we were on top at different stages in the second half, but it was a very even contest. It was a presentation with very good football inside, and hard luck to them on the day. It's a tough way to lose it, and it really was a battle between two great teams.
Yeah, on to penalties, and obviously your girls held their nerve. They were able to come through. Both sides missed a penalty, if I'm right, on the third and the fourth, but it had to go to sudden death. And was it nervy for you? Was it nervy for the girls? Or how was the whole experience of that?
It was. I guess at that stage, it's really a lottery, but the girls did the business with their penalties, and Holly Ferguson and goals then came off with two magnificent saves. There was a brilliant atmosphere there. We had great support from the school again, and the parents and the community, and it really helped the girls get over the line at the end.
Yeah, I know that this means a lot to the school, because it's been a long time since he's had a girls' national title on.
It has. It's a massive achievement. It must be 20 years, and it's a huge achievement. And the team can be really proud of themselves. We at the school are really proud of them, and they're inspirational role models, and they really are leading the way in promoting girls' involvement in all sports.
Yeah, and obviously now you'll be looking to knock on from this, because it really has been a good year, because the seniors got as far, that's the under-19 girls, got as far as the All-Ireland semi-final stage. So what's to come next then?
Well, we've had a great year with the football in the school. We've had first year girls were most recently Ulster champions. The under 15s were in the Ulster semi final, and then as you say, the senior team made it to the Ireland semi final. So it's been a fantastic year and a fantastic achievement for girls' sport in the school.
Yeah, you'll have a good day tomorrow in the school, then, Owen.
We will. They can enjoy the occasion now tomorrow, and there's great excitement even building back in the school as we speak. So it's great for the group. I'm really delighted for them.
Okay, super stuff indeed. Many congratulations on to you and to the girls and everybody in Scullwara, because it's always an exceptional year when you get an All-Ireland title, and enjoy it when you have it, because you don't get too many.
Thanks very much, Oshie. And you know, it's important to say too that, you know, we had a really, really tough battle against Cairn Donna in the Ulster final. That was a really even contest as well, and it just shows the talent and the standard of football in Sean and Donegal, and it's a reflection of all the hard work that's been done on a voluntary basis at a club level in the community.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Owen, and safe trip home.
Thanks very much, Oshin. Thank you.
There you go. That's Owen Leonard, teacher and manager of Scullwara. They are all Ireland junior champions, girls champions for 2022, and congratulations to them. And we'll be back to the soccer shortly in the programme, because Declan Boyle joining us tonight to look ahead to the League of Ireland action for the two Northwest sides, Fun Harps and Derry City tomorrow. But before we do that, we're going to talk motorsport, and in particular rallying. Joining me live in studio this evening, chairman of the Donegal Motor Club, Brian Brogan, and clerk of the course of the 2022 Donegal International, Eamon McGee. Gentlemen, you're welcome back after a couple of year absence to the studio.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're delighted here to be back too, and it's good to hear the sound of you and talking about rallying, and looking forward to it again after the 2 years out. It's fantastic for us to be getting ready for an event now and looking forward to it. It's really a huge challenge for everyone, but we're up for the challenge, and we're really, really looking forward to it now.
Yeah, it's been a big week already, Eamon, because the regs came out, and there has been a change to the regs, because you are under, the governance of the FIA, and in particular Europe this time around, because you're part of the European Rally Trophy. So there's been a lot more detail about the event available on the regulations, which the competitors see, and of course supporters can see it as well. So what's the response been like, Eamon?
The response has been very, very good at the moment. Our entries opened yesterday at 12 o'clock, and at probably 7 o'clock last night, we had something like 238 entries in at the moment, which is a big response over one day. We're not closing to the 25th as well.
Yeah, and you expect more to come in the coming days. There'll still be a few more coming in.
We're expecting at least another 30 and 40 to come as well.
Yeah, because it's not a case of first come, first serve. There's a lot of things have to be broken down for competitors to get an entry.
If they go on to their eggs, and they'll see they're a whole different criteria, and it's all to do with what the criteria and to do with the European regs is totally different to what we would be used to now.
Yeah. Listen, there's a number of changes. I know you were on with Greg this morning in relation to the service being moved from Milford to Letterkenny, but I'm going to get Brian's thoughts on this issue. And there was a bit of discontent this morning, Brian, in relation to the service, who has been a traditional part of the rally for a very, very long time, but now it's been moved to Letterkenny. Can you maybe understand the discontentment and maybe the disappointment of those who were airing their and expressing their feelings this morning on?
Oh, it's very, very, very clear on that, Oisín, to be honest. Now, I know a lot of people in that area, and there's a lot of support down there for rallying, so it's understandable everybody has their views, but we're not leaving the area at all. We'll be entertaining all of the people in all of those areas throughout the weekend, and we look forward to having the special stages around the Wild Atlantic Way and the Knockallas and the Fannet Heads and the Glens and Atlantic Drive. So all of that will still be happening, and there'll be no big change there in relation to that, because I would envisage at this point that the service being in Letterkenny will keep the people in those areas over the period of the 2 days, as opposed to them travelling in and out to service area. So I think it'll be a bonus, to be honest with you, overall in relation to safety then, and heading on to the regulations, the European regulations that we're working under, and we have no choice but to work under them at this point. But it's a huge, huge lift for us to be working on these regulations for this event. We have never done this before. Central service is a thing that we never could achieve. It'd be great if we could. It'd be fantastic if we had five central service areas in the county that we could go to and rotate in different areas. It'd be fantastic if we would have that. But unfortunately, we don't. So we're left with no choice now but to work with what we have. But we will. It'll run very well, there'll be no doubt about it, and it'll be a huge achievement when we get to the Sunday evening on it. And to answer your question, I fully understand the views of some people there, and I do know that when the weekend is up and running, that they will be happy enough with what happens there, and they'll still have the same entertainment in the area as well.
Yeah. Why bring Europe on board, Brian? One listener this morning aired a comment that they work hard to get an entry in the Donegal every year, and now entries have been taken up by those that are involved in the European competition. Why the move for that, and will there be some local crews disappointed with it?
I don't think there'll be too many disappointed, to be honest with you. We'll still be running 200 cars, so like at the end of it, there's plenty of opportunities for people there over the period of time for the accreditation that they will have and the criteria that is put in place. So I do know that a lot of the Donegal Motor Club members and the workers and the great members that we have that do go and marshal and travel will be rewarded for that, as they always are. In relation to the European thing, it is there now for some time, I suppose, but they haven't enforced a lot of the sanctions on us that they've done at this point. And the refueling is about the biggest issue that we have. So they wouldn't give us a waiver for that. The only waiver that we're entitled to now is the 30 seconds, where all the WRCs run on a minute, 2 minutes at some points. But again, anybody that was ever at a round of the WRC will know that the central service is, it's the success of a major event. And we will gladly see that now. It'll be a huge benefit to us. But I suppose it's the same as going to Coke Park to pay in your final and stuff. It is. You're lifting it to an extra level in the parapet. And we're looking forward to that now. And we do know when it does happen that everybody will be happy with it when it does happen.
Yeah. Just Eamon, before I come to you in the stages, it is, of course, the 50th edition of the rally. Brian, are you in any position at the moment to give us any details of how the 50th celebrations will be run over the course of that week?
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to, we will have a full week of entertainment for it starting on the Sunday, but we're really pleased for the founder members mainly. Oshie and I would see it's a big year for them. You have to remember 50 years ago they were the people that established Donegal Motor Club. Now we're only a small part in it, playing over the last few years to try and carry that forward, but they had a huge vision at that time, and we're glad that there's so many of them still about. So I'm really happy for them that we are we're taking the launch to the Rosapenna on the 3rd of June, Friday the 3rd of June. And that'll be an emotional evening for a lot of those people who are still about, and we're glad to have them. And it's really to reward them for the work that they had done by establishing Donegal Motor Club and creating it. And in that area, it's great to go back to the Rosapenna because it hadn't been back there for the 50 years. So it'll be a huge lift to those people to reward them. And we do feel that in over the weekend that there'll be more entertainment on for them. We will be taking them out and about and going back through the old memories.
It's fitting then that you're going to finish the rally on Atlantic Drive then too?
It will. Yeah. It'll work very well in Atlantic Drive, yeah. As Seamus McGittigan said earlier, everybody didn't get around it, and he was very right the time that they won it. But there's a lot of those guys that really enjoyed it, and the majority of them are coming back, and we will see a lot of past winners that will be there on the Sunday. And there's bits of entertainment on for them that will divulge, probably come later in the day. But it is fitting to have it down around Rosapenna for the 50th anniversary. And there's a lot of people that are delighted to be about. And we have a lot of other wee bits and pieces coming on board as well.
Yeah, okay. Eamon, we'll go back to you then. So what's the format going to be for the weekend starting on Friday?
Well, the format will probably be something new again for the 50th. Well, we will have a ceremonial start on the Thursday night in Main Street in Letterkenny, starting about 7:30 or 7 o'clock or thereabouts. That'll be the first thing. We we have the usual driver's briefing and the greening, and we'll be starting off from there on at the roundabout. That'll be the start of it, and then we'll be going to the east of the county, like down into the likes of Greenan and to Bancrana, like, you know, that's where for the three stages will be done twice in that locality on the Friday.
Yeah, is the Friday a long day, is it?
From 11 o'clock till about 5 or so.
Right, yeah.
Don't worry.
Slightly longer than normal. Longer than normal. Now, Saturday, as we know, is a long day. And in recent years, obviously due to plans and people moving and safety guidelines and different things, it was reduced to 8 stages, 8 or 9 stages. And this year there's going to be 3 stages incorporated into the 8. Yes. And there's going to be two of those done three times.
Yeah.
I mean, why was the decision to do that?
Well,
we're talking about Karen Hill, Fannet Head, and obviously not Gallagher.
Again, what we would have been looking at and in conjunction with Angerda, and that the movement of people that would have been during the day when you would have the two breakdown of the two stages in the morning and then to the evening stages, it was creating a big lock jam here and there. But like, we decided then we'd probably go three stages, settle the people into it, and try and keep them all on the stages as the day goes on, with less movement on the road and one thing and another.
Yeah, and the same then on Saturday, Gart and High Glennon, as we mentioned, finishing on the drive.
That'll be Sunday.
Sunday. They're done twice.
They're done twice.
But Gart been moved from the Saturday that's been used into the Sunday.
Aye, well, that was we probably moved the Fannet to Saturday, and then we moved then Gart and then to, and it runs on with our central service. We run out of Letterkenny into Kilmacrenan, and it falls into line nicely there for the morning.
Yeah. Some slight tweaks then to the stages.
Couple of wee tweaks and such as like that there as well. Eh?
Yeah. How important is it that Donegal has become the first rally in the country to allow right-hand drive R5s and the rally 2s as well? Because this was a sort of ongoing issue. So it was, Eamon, and now it's going to be allowed as from Donegal. How's that going to open it up?
That will probably open it up. I know that looking at some of the entries in, there's at least three or four already in right-hand drive, you know, and they have been sitting on the ditch there for a while, and they couldn't get out, like, you know, they can go in the national event, but, like, it was very unfair that they could go national, but they couldn't go international now.
Yeah.
And on the new regs as well, as whatever, like, there is no international national fastest car, it'd be a Mark II Escort or a Sunbeam or a...
So there's no two rallies anymore?
There are no two rallies, no.
It's all the ones. So we have an Escort here that's just as quick as any of the top 10, can finish 6th overall.
Can finish 6th overall.
Could win the event if
it all fell by the wayside. Yeah. It's the fastest car over the line on Sunday evening that will win the event.
Right, okay. And has that been welcomed by everybody?
Probably will be welcome. Right. Like, but we also then have our own, you know, there will be a first overall national two-wheel drive car, and that we still have all them trophies and prizes for everybody as well. Like.
Yeah, but it's not going to be called the national as such now anymore, and the results are all going to be together. Mm. There's an added award to the overall winner as well. We all know Manus Kelly, the man that won the hat-trick in Donegal, a memorial award. The Manus Kelly Memorial Award is now going to go to the winners, along with the two awards that the winner will already receive.
Aye, well, the two awards, the outstanding one was the Jim Kenny Cup, that was still has its pride, its place, and what it is. And then you have the Thomas Maguire Trophy for the Navigator. Now, what the circumstances that led to the last one, we decided to go and award the, and it should be in place for what man has achieved in the past. Like, you know, he was next member, he was a director of the club, he was a club member, he was past secretary, he won the event three times, you know, so he has a good legacy there. So I think it's an honour to Manus that we would do something like that for him. Like.
Yeah, and the legacy will live on with that award for the winners. Obviously, people will be talking about entries, Brian, so they will. And we've had some huge names in rallying attend Donegal. As this event comes back after a two-year absence, we're going to have the cream of the crop, no doubt about Irish rallying. Is there anybody to watch out for, or is there any big name that has showed any interest? You're not going to sort of disclose anything here, but it's going to be on the tongues of rally people as to who's going to come here the third weekend in June.
Aye, you're right, and there is a few people from overseas that has made inquiries, but we just at this point can't say for sure it's going to happen, but we're hoping that the entry will be submitted, and again, we'll be looking forward to that sort of good news whenever it comes closer to the event, and all the top Irish guys will be there, all the top guys in every class will be there, in every shape, and the overseas guys will be looking forward to coming here too. But Donegal is a huge challenge for any of the guys that have never done it before. You know, it is something, if you haven't done Donegal a time or two, it's not easy getting there. And again, it'll be a tight battle among all of the top orcaires there for the run now. And some of the guys on the right hand drive, which is fantastic to see, and I always thought and fought hard for that to happen, because that should have happened a long, long time ago. It wasn't fair on anybody that was used sitting on the right hand side of a car that had to compete on the left hand side to get the overall award. So it's good that the sense has prevailed there and brought that through now, and we're delighted that it's the first event that's going to host it, and we're looking forward to seeing how well the boys on the right hand drive do on the Sunday evening.
Yeah. So finally then, what happens between now and that Friday the 17th of June?
There's a lot to do now, let me tell you. Myself and Eamon were chatting about that earlier on there. There's more to do than there's people to do it, as usual. There's always plenty of people they'll say, think this needs to be done, that needs to be done, but somebody has to do it. But listen, we'll manage it. We were at it before. It's not the first time. And Eamon has a very good team around him there. Everybody that said they're going to do whatever they are has at it and working and looking forward to it. And listen, we're glad to be back, Oisín. This is the reality of it. We're delighted to be here talking to you now about running a rally again and Donegal, which is something we hadn't got for a couple of years. So really, really looking forward to it now. Really looking forward to it.
Listen, gentlemen, thanks for calling in, dropping in to give us insight as to how things are moving with the Donegal into the Dual Donegal International Rally for 2022. And good luck with the rest of the preparations, and I'm sure we'll be talking again real soon.
Okay. Thanks very much, Eugene. Thank you.
Is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
So then, moving on to football. There are two massive games at both ends of the League of Ireland Premier Division on Friday night for Finn Harps and Derry City. Harps host UCD as the bottom two clash at Finn Park. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. We'll have updates here on Highland tomorrow night from that game with Jeremy Doherty. While Derry City face the leader Shamrock Rovers at the Tallaght Stadium as the top two clash in Dublin. I've been looking ahead to those games with former Finn Harps and Derry centre half Declan Boyle. So Declan, looking ahead to the weekend, couple of massive games for the North West sides. Finn Harps up against UCD, the bottom two. How crucial is the 3 points for either side on Friday night?
Yeah, it's massive. Considering UCD are bottom of 5 points and Harps are in 10 points, so there's 5 points of difference. It'd be a great advantage for Finn Harps if we can beat UCD the weekend and push another 3 points between them and UCD, and obviously close the gap as well between Drogheda, and just not as well as that, Shelburne are playing Drogheda, so two teams above Harps are playing, so those two games are massively important, but Harps need to be pulling 3 points and winning 3 points against UCD the weekend.
Is there much pressure going into games like this, Declan?
I think there is. You know, I mean, Harps have got 2-1s against Shelburne and they haven't beaten anybody else, so you need to be beating the teams that are around you. You need to be beating the UCDs. They've drawn out of the final week, another massive 6-pointers. I mean, these are big, big games, and these are the games you need to be winning, because down there in the bottom, very few of the teams are beating any of the rest of the teams, so you can gain points by playing against the teams and beating the teams that are closest to you. And for me, that money lead there, you've UCD, Finn Harps, Drogheda, and you've Shelburne as well, they're there, so it's a massive weekend for games, and Harps need to be getting 3 points against UCD if they have wanted to stay away from relegation.
Yeah, and Harps still struggling on the injury front as well, on the personnel front, Declan.
Yeah, listen, they've lost a lot of players, you know, Webster obviously, and GC as well is struggling for the, you know, so he's out for a while as well, so that they're two big losses, you know, the core of your team, your skipper and your number six. And the players are coming and going, and they lost suspension as well. So they have done well. I mean, last week, obviously against Shelburne, they done very well to get 3 points, scoring later on by a McNamee goal. But it's crucial that stay in the game against UCD. UCD form hasn't been good. In the last five games, they've lost four. They drew last week 2-2 against Dundalk at home, and Conor Whelan scoring two goals. So he's crucial to them. And you know all about the players they have as well from Donegal, Sam Todd, Michael Gallagher, Jack Keeney. So three big players from Donegal that are involved in UCD. So they'll be coming full of confidence, full of energy, real pace in their team. And there will be a threat. So it's a big, big match for both teams.
Yeah, a huge match for both teams. For both them players that you mentioned, it adds a wee bit extra for them as they come back to their home county playing with their club, Declan.
Yeah, it is. You know, obviously the family will be down to watch it, so it's a big game for them. Obviously, Sam Todd and Michael both
would have played for St Harps previously, so you know, for them coming back into Donegal, and Jack would have played for Sligo Rovers and captain of UCD team. So and they've also been top players too, Liam Kerrigan, Sligo Rovers, ex-Sligo Rovers, and Evan Caffrey as well, and Colin Whelan. So Andy Myler has a good squad of players there. The results haven't been too good for them, but you know, in games they've stuck in there, but there will be a threat. They've got pace, and that's probably the area that, that Harps will make sure that they defend well and defend a wee bit deeper and not allow the space in behind, because usually you have loads of pace and will cause you problems if you give them the opportunity. But it's a big game, as I say, it's a crucial one for Harps, and they need to be getting 3 points. Worst case scenario, you don't lose this game.
Worst case scenario then is a draw. But what about the Harps threats up the other end? Where are the goals going to come from? Because Harps have been shy in goals this season, and you're playing matches which have such a big bearing on how you're placed in the table. Goals are something that you want, Declan.
Crucially, that's the key, and that's why, you know, we've struggled all year is scoring goals. But in these kind of games, it's about somebody else coming and producing a wee bit of magic, or making sure that they're maybe in the right position to go and finish it off. And Barry McNamee scored a good goal at home last time against Shelburne. So you're looking for somebody like Barry, that quality, to score a goal from anywhere, you know. And rather than having pressure on your three fun players, can we get other players to produce a wee bit of magic and create something out of nothing, or even from a set play? So it's either one of those scenarios is what you're looking for. But at the end of the day, it's about getting results, so it doesn't matter who scores. But yeah, listen, it's an area that Ollie will look to address, I think, in July. He needs to get a goal scorer, somebody that's a bit better than what he has at the minute.
Yeah, as we said, Harps have two wins so far this season. Is 6 points and two victories in a week achievable by Harps, because they're going to have a huge game against Drogheda come next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me now, a good 2 weeks would be to beat UCD at home and go up to Drogheda and get a draw. For me, the 4 points would be massive out of these next two games. And the fact then you've got Shelburne, Drogheda playing Shelburne as well, so they're another massive game, and the teams that are around you, and you're hopeful that might end up a draw, so they don't get 3 points and push forward one of those teams. But yeah, listen, two massive weeks for Finn Harps, but crucially they need to look after their home games. They need to get a result, if hopefully 3 points on Friday night against UCD.
Now let's move to Derry City. Top of the table clash against Shamrock Rovers, fair to say the biggest game of the year so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Two best teams in the league by far. The form has been good. Obviously, Derry have slipped a wee bit in the last while, and where they were a couple of points ahead of Shamrock Rovers. Now Shamrock Rovers are 1 point ahead of Derry City. But yeah, I mean, it's a massive game for both clubs. Derry obviously won the first match in the Brandy, was scoring a late goal to pull 3 points out of the bag, and probably didn't deserve it overall for me. But I thought Shamrock Rovers were very good in the second half and deserved a draw. But Shamrock Rovers now coming into the form that they're coming in, they beat Sligo Rovers 3-1. It was 0-0 half time and just put on four subs and just changed the game completely. Graham Burke came in, got a second half hat trick, and he was fundamental, obviously, in the man of the match, even though he played only 45 minutes. So Shamrock Rovers will be a big test for Derry. Can Derry go up there and win? Absolutely, they can go and beat Shamrock Rovers, but it's going to take a big big massive performance from them to go and produce a really good performance. But they went up and they beat St Pat's comfortably up in Richmond there a couple of weeks back, so they can go there and do their they can go and beat Shamrock Rovers, but for me they're going to have to score first.
If that was to happen, how big a statement is it from Derry then?
Oh, I mean, it's so far this season they've been excellent. They really have been excellent, and they have put it up to the teams that are up there, and obviously Shamrock Rovers as well. So Shamrock Rovers, if they're going to win this league this year, they're going to have to be really tested. It's similar to a couple of years ago when Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers were fighting for the Premier League title. Now it's Derry City and Shamrock Rovers, and I've no doubt about it that Derry City will add extra players in July as well, get a wee bit stronger. The bench of Shamrock Rovers is stronger than Derry's bench for sure. They have extra quality, and similar to the game against Sligo Rovers where they brought in three or four subs and just changed the game, Shamrock Rovers have that squad. Derry aren't to that level yet, but their starting 13 is very, very good, and they will definitely cause problems, but it's going to take a massive performance for them to get 3 points against Shamrock Rovers in Tallaght.
Yeah. Sligo Rovers at home against St Pat's on Saturday. Declan, you of course be around the showgrounds a lot as manager of the under-19s. 15 games played, sitting mid-table, 5 wins, 5 draws, 5 losses for Liam Buckley's side. At this stage, that's probably not where they wanted to be.
No, absolutely. You know, Buckley would be probably disappointed with the overall performance of the team and players as well. Probably, I think they've done okay without pushing the boundary out too much. I think they should be in a better position than they are. Their performances haven't been brilliant. I think they've huffed and puffed a lot. They've been good in stages. They were very good, obviously, against Shamrock Rovers for 45 minutes up in Tala, and then second half, then Shamrock Rovers obviously pulled away and scored 3 goals. And that's been probably the tale of the season, where they've been good in patches in games. They just haven't been consistently good over 90 minutes, and that's something, an area that Liam Buckley will try to address. But yeah, big game for Sligo Rovers against St Pat's on Saturday night. It's a massive game for them, and their home form is an area that needs to improve as well. They just haven't been good enough at home, and if you want to be up looking to get into Europe, your home form is crucial that you get victories, and they haven't done that this year so far, and the performances have been probably below standard.
Finally, Declan, we're just going to touch on the Ulster Senior League Cup, which is taking place on Saturday afternoon. I know you do keep an eye on the happenings in the USL as the season goes, but another huge tie. Looking for the double is Coghill Celtic, the league champions, and they're up against Bunnigie United, who are chasing a hat-trick of cups. This could be a really interesting game on Saturday.
Yeah, it will be, won't it? I mean, that's the form between both teams has been very good this season. I mean, to Bonagy to get the 3 cup finals is an excellent achievement, and obviously Gavin Cullen and Coghill as well to win 9 league titles in a row. That's an unbelievable achievement for him and his squad of players. And as you say, they'll be looking to obviously get the double, and it's an opportunity for Bonagy to get the first trophy for them for the season and push on. I know they're in, you know, 2 other cup finals, so it's an excellent match. It's about promotion, obviously, of football in Donegal and in his zone, and it's 2 massive teams with a lot of experience in both teams. Ex-Harps players in regards to Tony McNamee, Gareth Harkin, Mickey Funston's obviously there with Bonagie, and then obviously you've Garvin Frail, and you've Jack Doherty and Colin O'Brien, 2 young lads can through the under-17s of Harps and me, and 2 really good bright stars. And yeah, looking forward to that game. Should be a really good contest. It'd be very close, I would think. Bonagie have, I think, beaten Coghill twice this year. It was Coghill beating them at home in the league, so it's going to be very interesting, and it probably could go into extra time or penalties, that one.
That's Declan Boyes speaking to me earlier today, looking ahead to the big games. Finn Harps against UCD, Derry City against Shamrock Rovers tomorrow night. The top 2 and the bottom 2 going head to head. And Declan just talking about that Ulster Senior League Cup final, which is penciled in for the Diamond Park in Ballyar at 2 o'clock on Saturday, as the top 2, the big 2 in the Ulster Senior League this year, go head to head. It's all set up to be a cracker. Bunnigie United against Coghill Celtic. Ryan Ferry will have updates from that game for us on Saturday afternoon, as Coghill chase the double, Bonagie looking for the first stage of a possible cup hat-trick. Well, the destination of the Donegal League Premier Division title could be a bit clearer tonight. Cagu's appeal to the Ulster FA Disciplinary Committee will be heard this evening. Should they be successful, Bonagie United will effectively be Premier Division champions with a 4-point advantage at the top over Kilmacrenan and Celtic with 1 game to go. Now, should the punishment for fielding an ineligible player be upheld, then the gap would be 1 point with 1 game to go, and the last run of matches in the Premier Division is taking place this coming Saturday. The outcome of that appeal could also affect Glenae United, who are battling at the bottom of the table as well. Now, moving on to Gaelic games, the hurlers of Donegal and Tyrone will play for a place at Croke Park this coming Saturday afternoon in Carrickmore. That's going to be our feature game. We'll have full live match commentary from the tie, as a win for either side at Park Columbkill will see them progress to the Nicky Rackard Cup final the following week. At the same venue last year, Donegal lost to the host as Tyrone reached the final, only to go down to Mayo in the decider. A draw at the very least will do for Donegal on Saturday, while Tyrone need to win in their own backyard to reach back-to-back finals. Tom Comack has been looking ahead to the game with Donegal vice-captain Buncrana's Jack O'Loughlin.
Well, Jack, it's down to the last game, really, I suppose. I know it's only a group game, but it really is the Nicky Rackard semi-final against Tyrone on Saturday, isn't it?
Semi-final, all right, and it's the next step to get to Croke Park, and, you know, get that All-Ireland, and that's what we set out to do at the start of the year, so it's a must-win game for us, really.
Yeah. Well, I think possibly a draw will do you, but that's always a dangerous thing to try and play for.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be going out there trying to rely on a draw. We're just going to approach this game the same way we do with every other one, and try get a win so that we won't have to worry about those kind of things.
Yeah, unbeaten, just the draw with Roscommon, the only point lost or dropped, really. So it's been a good campaign.
Yeah, it's been a good campaign so far. Still don't think we have hit our full potential. We slipped up kind of badly against Roscommon. We did have a 6 or 7 point lead, but they came back and did what you would expect out of those teams. But so we did well to get the draw and end up. But we're still looking for a performance where, everybody on the pitch is clicking. We still haven't got that this year yet. So that's what we're going to be searching for on Saturday.
Yeah. And Tyrone, your opponents, they've just lost the one game between league and championship this year. That was last week to Roscommon, really. So obviously that's why this makes this game so important.
Yeah. Looking at Tyrone's results, they did very well. They got promoted there in the league, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I think that last game they played against Roscommon, that was the first one they got beaten. So, they'll be confident in themselves come Saturday. But it's a team we're very familiar with. We played them a lot of times down through the years, and they did beat us in the semi final last year. So, we definitely do one in that regard.
Yeah, and the game's in Carrickmore as well. Obviously, it has moved from Healy Park. Would you prefer to be in Healy Park?
Healy Park, nice wide pitch, probably might suit us a bit better. But it is what it is. Carrickmore, we played there a couple of times. We're used to it. We're not going to worry about those kind of things come Saturday. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And as we said, obviously the prize for the winner is a place in the final. And as we said, a draw might do Donegal, but I know you'll be going for the win. In terms of yourself personally, you had an injury early in the season. You missed a couple of league games, didn't you?
Yeah, I missed nearly most of the league. There was a couple of games that came on in the second half, but I still wasn't 100%. Probably a lot of it to do with maybe the driving and stuff I was doing going to training, but thank God our physio team and strength and conditioning coach got me back anyway for championship, which is
so you're fitting well now.
Most important. And all good now, Tom. Thanks.
Great. So looking forward to the game, obviously, and a place in the final. And as you say, Tyrone, are a form team, and of course then they have one danger man in Damien Casey.
Casey, he's always. He's a very consistent player for Tyrone. He's always performing well, but we're going to do our best to try handle and manage that. But these are the days you play for, Tom. A day in Croke Park is what's at stake here, really. We were there back in 2020, but there was no crowd, as because of COVID. So this is something we're really pushing for. We'd love to be there a day with our fans in the stand and to lift that Nicky Record Cup. So
that's Jack O'Loughlin, vice-captain of the Donegal Senior Hurlers, who took on Tyrone at Park Columbkill on Saturday. 3:30 in Carrickmore is the throw-in, and we'll have full live match commentary here on Highland. I'll be joined by Paul O'Brien on commentary, and the winner, as we know, goes to Croke Park the following Saturday. Derry, who have been going well on the Christy Ring, are also in action on Saturday. They're making the trip to Mayo. That one starts at 1 o'clock. Just back to Tyrone, there's a huge game at 5 o'clock for them in Park Sean McDermott. It's the All-Ireland Under-20 Football Championship decider. Tyrone, of course, have won this competition in the past, standing in their way of another title as the Lily Whites off Kildare as Tyrone look for an All-Ireland title. It's a massive day for Tyrone GAA, not forgetting about the ladies who are also in action as well. They're taking on Down in the Intermediate Football Championship final at Hayley Park in Omagh at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. So Saturday's probably the biggest day of the year so far for Tyrone on the Gaelic Games front. What else is happening Gaelic Games wise on Saturday? The Ulster Minor Championship qualifiers taking place for Donegal. They have to make the trip to St Jernex Park in Clonus. Monaghan is the opposition in that tie as they look to progress. Donegal also play the Kildare Lilywhites in the semi-finals of the Ulster Under 17 Celtic Hurling Challenge. And on Saturday too, Letterkenny Gaels are taking on Henry Joyce of Antrim in the final of the Hurling Development League, and that one has an early start of 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. And in more ladies football, Donegal are taking on Monaghan on Saturday as well. It's the Under 16 Ulster Championship Gold Final. St McCartan's in Ochre and County Tyrone is the venue Saturday afternoon. That one throws in at 3 o'clock. But the big game on Sunday is, of course, the second semi-final of the Ulster Senior Football Championship. Donegal are waiting in the wings ahead of the decider to see who Declan Boner's side will play at the end of the month. Derry and Monaghan will meet this coming weekend at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. Derry are on the verge of returning to the final if they overcome Monaghan. It will be the first appearance in the decider since 2011. Interestingly, on that occasion, they faced Donegal. In the quarter-final, Rory Geller's Derry side beat the All-Ireland champions Tyrone, taking a first championship win in 7 years. Michael McMullen is a Derry man. He writes with the Gaelic Life, and he's been looking ahead to Derry's next assignment with Tom Comack.
Well, Michael, has a line been drawn under that great win over Tyrone, or are Derry folks still dining out on it?
I think Derry people are just excited about it. I think excited the fact that they're back challenging in championship again. I've been harping on about it for a long time now. Like, Derry hadn't won a championship game in Ulster since 2015. And it was badly needed. I had a feeling they would beat Tyrone based on how they were going, but the margin, I don't think anybody would have saw that coming anywhere at all across Ulster. But it's great. It's great to be back. And now you're making the next step against Mona, and that's the next mountain.
And tell me, obviously, you know, it is a huge win. I don't think even the most optimistic people, as you said, supporter, would have seen that one coming against Tyrone. Is there any lingering doubts about that, maybe just where Tyrone were at? Because not wanting to take away from Derry, but Tyrone didn't look themselves that day.
No, they didn't. But I think Derry just basically got everything right. It was as close to a perfect performance as you're probably going to get. Rory is excellent at preparing a team for that day that you can see from a long way away, a wee bit like Donegal last year. So I think Derry have to take an awful lot of credit. But Tyrone definitely weren't at the races, you know, anywhere in the pitch. And I would love to have saw what way the game finished out if it was 15 against 15. I still had a feeling that Derry would win it, but it probably didn't help the margin of the game. But even from the early stages of the game, like, Gareth McInnes probably stamped his authority on it, and probably the way he played, the intensity with which he played, and the rest of the Derry team followed. But as I say, you know, if it had been 15 against 15, Tyrone might have been able to dig it a wee bit closer by half-time, and then it leaves it a different game. But coming into it, I felt Derry would win, and as the game sort of progressed, I had a good feeling about it. But it's a great performance. It's a great performance for such a, you know, if you have a lot of young players playing in maybe their second or third championship game of any description, you know, so to put on a performance like that was very, very pleasing.
You mentioned there, Michael, that you know, Rory O'Gallagher is a great man to prepare a team for a championship from a long way out. You've got plenty of time to work on that one since the draw was made, really. Just 2 weeks or so for Monaghan on Sunday?
Yeah, if you put the clock back to 2006, they beat Tyrone as All-Ireland champions. And I interviewed a fellow player, Joe O'Kane, before that game against Tyrone, and he said that back at that stage, they had Tyrone inside out, but they were playing Donegal in the next round that year, and there just wasn't the same level of preparation. Like he said, on the bus going to the game, somebody handed him a piece of paper with some of the strengths and weaknesses of the Donegal players, you know, and, you know, they just didn't have that same level of preparation. But I think Rory, I think Rory would be a different kettle of fish. He seems to be a very, very intense individual, and he will have Monaghan sussed out nearly right away. I'm hearing people saying he's actually very friendly with Seamus McEneaney, and they might have played a couple of challenge games at different times under Rory's tenure with Derry, so I'm sure he'd be looking to get one over on Banty. And the preparation thing, to answer your question, the preparation thing's huge, but I think Rory will have that box ticked. The big question will be, can the Derry players be as hungry again? That's probably what it comes down to for me, because I don't think they're going to get any fitter, and, you know, there's probably not many teams in Ireland that are as fit as Derry at the moment. They're in some shape, and bearing in the mind that there'll be a case of just, you know, tapering down between the two games to get up again, but can Derry bring that same intensity? That's my question.
And tell me, what do you make of Monaghan? Where are the threats from a Derry point of view? What's the big worry, or who are the people that are going to cause you the most problems, do you think?
Well, before going to the Monaghan team as such, Monaghan as a county, I feel will be a bigger test than Tyrone. Like Tyrone have come into the game having won the All-Ireland, whereas Monaghan have come in after nearly won an Ulster, but not won an Ulster, you know, and they seem to be a team, when you're talking about the players, like Jack McCarron has scored 326, and that's on the back of missing a few games during the league with injury, whereas beforehand it was the Conor McManus show all the time. So they've got him and McManus, and Gary Mohan, who's playing up there, who seems to have been a very impressive forward in the Monaghan club scene. And he's there as an R target man. So they can afford to play Mohan and McCarron inside. So that's three players Derry have to worry about up there. Thankfully, Derry have got Rogers and McCaig, who would be, you know, good man markers. So then you're into the case of, you've got Conor McCluskey or Paddy McGrogan, two young lads playing in their third championship appearance recently against Tyrone. One of those lads could end up picking up Conor McManus. So that's a big, big task for whichever one of those two lads Rory gives that job to. So that's where Monaghan's strengths come from.
And tell me, in terms of, obviously Shane McGuigan is the go-to man for you in terms of scores. You know, have you got the attacking power to cause Monaghan trouble, bearing in mind that Kieran McFaul isn't there, and like he had a brilliant performance against Donegal last year?
Yeah, Kieran was an exceptional player for Derry last year, as was Gareth McInnes. They were probably Derry's two star players last year. But, you know, Shane is obviously talked about, you know, he's an exceptional player, and he has worked really hard at his game. But thankfully, against Tyrone, like Benny Hearn had probably his best ever game for Derry against Tyrone. Niall Loughlin, at a rough guess, scored 7 points out of seven chances. You know, so they're scores that Derry will need to get this weekend as well. But Rory he's got a running game in his locker as well. You know, you have Conor Doherty and Ethan Doherty and Gareth McInnes, who bring a lot of punch, you know, running at teams.
And tell me, Michael, any word of any injuries? I know camps are pretty tight now and it's pretty hard to get information from them.
No, well, they are very tight now. I think Matthew Downey's back training. And Oisín McWilliams, who broke his jaw in the league against Galway, was back in the 26th the last day. And I'm not sure if he'll be ready. Like, you're coming from a broken jaw and having played no football to the cauldron of a championship game against Monaghan, you know, would be a big step up. And the Downey, as you saw that night up in Ballybuffet in the McKenna Cup, kicked two unbelievable points and then went off injured. And he's back in the 26th, but you know, it's very hard to see if Rory will use any of those lads. Like, an interesting statistic from the Derry panel is that the panel of 30 players, outside of the 20 players that Rory used against Tyrone, Oisín McWilliams is the only other one to have played in the championship. You know, they've got 9 people on their panel with no championship experience of any kind. So I can't see him changing much in regards of his team. Padraig Cassidy, I'm sort of hoping he'll start. He's been plagued with a groin injury, and he came on the last day, but he hasn't really played that much this year. But when you talk about trying to run through Monaghan's middle at Desi Ward the way Down did, I would like to see Padraig Tadhg, you know, Padraig Cassidy in that role running through the middle. So I think Derry fans will be hoping he is closer to full match fitness.
That's Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life looking ahead to Derry against Monaghan this coming Sunday. Throw-in time, of course, is 4 o'clock in the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. And Michael will be providing us with updates from that game this weekend. On to the cricket front. There was an interprovincial cup match played today at Brady. And unfortunately, no win for the North West Warriors. The rain had a huge impact on this game. The Northern Knights reached a total of 123 earlier in the day when there was no rain. Northwest Warriors were returning on 61 for the loss of 5 with about 23 overs played. Then the rain came on, off the players went. They never really got back on to try and chase that down. So the Duckworth-Lewis method was brought into play. And in the end, when all the calculations were done, the Northern Knights took the victory by 12 runs. Just staying on cricket, because there is a full programme of matches to take place in the Northwest on Saturday and Sunday, a double weekend. It looks like they're going to get the ideal weather for the cricket. Round 1 of the Northwest Senior Cups taking place on Saturday. The fixtures are Kelly Clooney against Fox Lodge, Sturban play Dunamana, Brigader up against St Johnstone, Coleraine will take on Ballyspallin. Also on Saturday, Eglinton host the Ned, Burndennet versus Ardmore, and Brady will play Glendermot. And there's a full round of games as well in the North West 40 over leagues taking place on Sunday in Group A and Group B. These are the matches that were due to be played a couple of weeks ago on the opening weekend, but were rained off with the weather, and they will be played on Sunday. So there'll be a lot of cricket action in the North West this coming weekend. And that is it from Highland Radio Sports Desk for today and another edition of The Score. Hope you all enjoyed the programme tonight. There we go, there's the music. You can, of course, recap on the sports section of HighlandRadio.com to any of our pieces on the show tonight. Chris Ashmore is back tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with our next bulletin. So it's left of your Thursday. Enjoy it, have a good one.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.